Let's bow our hearts and minds before our Lord here this morning. Father, as we come before you, anxiety perhaps, sorrows perhaps, insufficiencies perhaps, many things may clutter our minds and cloud our hearts. I pray, God, that in this hour, in this time, in our worship already this morning, in our worship still to come, in our worship even now, that we would see God. That we would see you, that our hearts and minds would be rapt by you, awed by you. That the things of this earth would grow strangely dim, and our hope eternal would fill our hearts and our minds. Father, we are indebted to you, a debt we cannot pay, a debt that has been paid fully, completely, sufficiently in Jesus Christ. He is our King and our Master. Father, help us to see here this morning. Please, as always, guard our hearts and minds. Let the truth of your word be made plain to us today, that you would be honored and glorified, high and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in Minnesota, and one of the greatest, most wonderful things to do was to go out at night in the midst of a heavy snowfall. At times, if the wind was not blowing, the snow would clump together in flakes the size of a silver dollar. Unbelievable. And all the old and trampled, dirty snow would soon be smoothed over like fondant on a wedding cake. During such a walk, your senses are amped. You would see exquisite beauty. The lights on the falling flakes. And on the ground, you could see the lights blinking off the crystals of the snow. Frosty dandruff would begin to cover the hat and shoulders of those you were walking with. You felt the cold nip at your cheeks and at your chin, but you delighted in the warmth of your jacket and your boots. You can hear the snowfall. And yet, at the same time, the world is muffled. God has filled the earth with, like, styrofoam. And there's a surreal quiet to a heavy snowfall, and yet you can hear the snow falling. The world smells different than anything else. Now, you're not just going out for a walk. You are going out to suck it all in, to take it all in. You can't just walk. You run through it. You feel it. You feel it resisting your shins. You stomp your name in the snow or some other message. You make snow angels. You wad it up if it's packable. Sometimes it's not. Sometimes it dissolves in your hands. But when it's packable, then you begin to powder your friends and compadres. Every pore of your being knows what it means to walk in the snow. Now, you can get a similar experience. I would call it a lesser experience by going to Lucy Park and walking through Lucy Park. If you are going to walk through Lucy Park, you are going to enjoy everything that is around you. If you've gone for a walk in the mountains, you get that sense. The majesty, the splendor, the smell of pine. You take it all in. As Paul concludes his introduction to the Colossians, he moves into application. And we're going to cover a whopping two verses today. But these two verses are the vaulting point that Paul is going to make for the rest of the letter. It is the theme, essentially, of the rest of the letter. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Verse 6. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. He encourages them to walk in Christ. As we move into this text, I'm going to encourage you guys to think back to a walk you've enjoyed. Me, my heart goes to Minnesota and blitzing through the snow many times. Think of a walk that was extraordinary as we discuss walking with Christ here. As we move into the text this morning in verse 6, there stands therefore. Paul is telling the Colossians simply walk in Him. But as we look at therefore, that is one of the most dangerous verses to those who like to play Bible roulette. Okay, boom. Therefore. Oh, rats. Because when you see therefore, you have to go back and understand what is it there for? I've got to go and understand the whole context of what he's talking about. We have walked through Colossians chapter 1 together. Even if I'm doing studies and I cross-reference back to a verse and it says therefore, it's like, oh man, I better understand the context of the verse because he is anchoring what he is about to say on everything he has already said. What has he said? He rejoices in their life in Christ, that they are established in Christ. What has he said? He has exalted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior in 15 through 20, which we are going to keep going back to because it is the crux of this letter. What has he said? Well, he has emphasized to them his struggles for them. He has stated that his struggles, his desire for them is maturity in Christ. He has stated that his desire for them is to not be deceived by plausible arguments. So that's very briefly what we've covered in chapters 1 and so far in chapter 2. And so therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him. Hold your finger here, flip back to John. What does it mean to receive Christ as Lord? That's very Christianese. Hey, you got to receive Christ as your Savior. Yeah, okay. What does that mean? In John chapter 1, verse 11, John writes, He, that would be Jesus Christ, came to His own, and His own people did not receive Him. The Creator came to the creatures, and His own did not receive Him. What's that mean? They did not welcome Him. They did not embrace Him for who He is. In the very next verse, John writes, but to all who did receive Him, and oh, by the way, here is what he means. What's it mean to receive Him? Who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. So to receive Christ, to welcome Him, to believe who He is and what He has said. As you have received Him. Now, this is the gift of eternal life. Christ must be received and welcomed. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. I think of eternal life. It's a gift. God's done everything that needs to be done. And so he stands with this gift and goes, here. And you go, oh, thank you. No thanks. Oh, that's great. I can see what it is. I believe everything that it is. But that doesn't mean I have eternal life until I take that. Until I receive that to myself. It must be appropriated. I can't just know it is mine to take it. So Paul writes back in Colossians, as you have received, well, how did the Colossians receive Jesus Christ? We learned in chapter 1 from Epaphras. They had to hear the true gospel of who Jesus Christ was. If they had received a false gospel, then Paul would not be rejoicing at this part, at this point, but trying to correct the mess that Epaphras had made. But Paul knows Epaphras hasn't made a mess, that they do have a true faith. So there must be a correct understanding of the gospel message. This teaching, with all wisdom, was that the Colossians would not only, though, know Christ as Savior, but that they would know Christ as Lord. That's what Paul says here in verse 6. As you received Christ Jesus, the Lord, so walk in him. Who is this King of Glory we asked a few weeks back, hearkening to the Psalms? Who is this King of Glory? What does it mean to be the Lord, to receive Christ Jesus as Lord? He is my master and my commander. He is my captain, O captain. He is my director, my CEO, my president. You can think of any other leader. He is my father. If I'm to receive Jesus Christ as Lord, think of this. Okay, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. There is his name. He is Christ. He is Messiah. He is Savior. But he is Lord too. This is the thing growing up in the Lutheran church that I missed. Of course I knew Jesus as Savior. We said it every Sunday. I recited the Apostles' Creed. I do it. I can do it. But for Jesus Christ to be Lord of my life, that means chapter 1, verses 15 through 20 applies to me. If he is the head of all things, he is the head of my life. Am I receiving Christ as my leader? If he is, the implication is that I will then, the O word, obey. Yes, he is my Christ. He is my Messiah, my Savior. But if I stop there, he becomes nothing more to me than a get out of jail free card. He becomes my genie in a bottle to rescue me. If he rescues me from my spiritual ills, maybe he'll rescue me from my physical ills and maladies as well. Jesus desires to be our Lord. As you have received Christ Jesus the Lord. So the implication then is that they have. So now, based on this, so now walk in him. Verse If you've been out in the snow, if you have really been out in the snow, when you come inside, everybody is going to know that you have been out in the snow. You are a sugar cookie. And you are dripping, and your cheeks have a red to them that just does not happen here in Wichita Falls. You have clearly been abiding with him. In Acts, we see that those who stood opposed to Christ recognized that these men had been with him. Not because they had name tags or a special ring to signify it, but their lives proved it. As we have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. This goes back to John 15, which we preached through this summer. Abide in him. What's it mean to abide in Christ? Think of a walk in the snow. He is everything. You are trying to glean everything. You are trying to know everything. You are trying to mess up all of the snow. Okay, we're not trying to mess up Christ, but you are trying to go to every corner and see what's there. I want to abide with Christ. I want to know Christ. Everything there is for me to know about him. I said last week that if I am abiding in Christ, he is my delight. I delight in him. And I am to delight him, not merely delight in him. He is my satisfaction. This world will not satisfy. You may be pleased for a moment, you may be pleased for a time, but it will not satisfy. He is my satisfaction. He is my satisfier. And he is the one I am to satisfy. He is not needy as I am desperately needy, but I am to please him. I am to bring satisfaction to him in my conduct. As I have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him. Now, this isn't a walk. This isn't just, I'm going for a walk. The implication here is to keep on walking. This is a romp in the snow that never ends. The NIV, unfortunately, takes away the walk. Okay? It explains away walking, but what it says is to continue living your lives. Okay? That is the sense. To keep on doing it. That's what it means to walk in him. To keep on walking. Don't quit. Keep savoring him. Keep delighting in him. Keep your mind on him. Keep your mind in him. Commit your mind to him and use your mind for him. To walk in Christ is an unceasing dance with him. With him in the lead, you go where he goes. And the result ultimately will be my maturity in Christ. Paul continues here and explains how this walk is going to be characterized. And really what I'm going to do with verse 7 is I'm going to turn all of these things into questions. For us to examine where we stand in our walk with Christ. So the first thing, Paul says, you will be rooted in him. Am I rooted in Christ? Hold your place and flip back to Psalm 1. When I hear rooted, you think of a tree. You think of horticulture. We have a tree out in our front yard, a bald cypress that has done okay, hasn't died. That bald cypress grew a little bit year upon year upon year. This May, that thing exploded. The trunk went from like that to like that. What happened last May? It rained. It rained and it rained and it rained. Chapter 1, verse 1 of Psalms. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on this he meditates day and night. On his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The Word of God. It is no surprise that John referenced Jesus Christ as the Word. Psalm 119 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day." Am I rooted in Christ? I would contend that you cannot have a deeply rooted, stable and steadfast faith or relationship with Christ apart from his word. If I try, that relationship is going to be based upon what I think or my feelings or my impressions or man's ideas. Came across a quote from John Piper this week. He said, "The great need of our time is for people to experience the living reality of God by hearing his word personally and transformingly in Scripture. Something is incredibly wrong when the words we hear outside Scripture are more powerful and more affecting to us than the inspired word of God. Let us cry with the psalmist, 'Incline my heart to your word.'" Psalm 119:36. "Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of your law." Psalm 119:18. He continues, "Grant that the eyes of our hearts would be enlightened to know our hope and our inheritance, and the love of Christ that passes knowledge, and be filled with all the fullness of God. Oh God, don't let us be so deaf to your word and so unaffected with its ineffable, evidential excellency that we celebrate lesser things as more thrilling." We are going to look to other things. God says, don't. My word. Only in his word can we remain rooted in him, rooted in truth, for he is truth and he is the word. If we walk in Christ, we will be rooted in his word. If we are rooted in his word, we will walk in Christ. So are we rooted? Are we built up? Verse 7, the one who walks with Christ is rooted and built up in him. So we go from farming and horticulture to construction. Okay, to build up, it has to have a foundation. The foundation is Christ. Paul uses that metaphor over and over again in his word. If I am trying to be built up on anything other than the solid foundation of Jesus Christ, I'm a dope. You know, I think of this somewhat in a passive sense. You think of a tree being built up. A tree is built up naturally because of its foundation. Okay, we need to assess, are we being built up? So there is some sense where I need to look at and question the structure of my life. But if I am not building on the solid foundation, if I am building on sinking sand, God's construction will not be taking place. It will be my construction. And it will end up looking like the mailbox that is sitting on Sioux Lane in Burke Burnett that leans like this because the foundation was not level. So assess, but don't fret. I need to ask myself, am I growing in Christ? Am I maturing? How do I know? It is a hard thing to assess. It'd be nice if we had tick marks along the door, like my daughters do, for their growth, to determine spiritual growth. Perhaps the easiest way for a believer to look and see, God, am I really growing in you, is to look for fruit. Look for spiritual fruit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Is it evident? If it is lacking, repent. God, my tree's not growing the kind of fruit that I know you desire. And so I turn to you. I cling to you. God, have your way with me. Prune my branches as you see fit, that I might grow fruit that would exalt your name. And let me encourage you. If you are at that point, that is a testimony to your maturity in Christ. Because if you don't care, you're not. But we should. We should care. At the same time, please don't let Satan drag you down. He would love for you to go, yep, you're not maturing in Christ. Loser! He wants to bludgeon you and cripple you and hamstring you and make you impotent and ineffective in your walk with Christ, because you are too busy looking at you and not him. Not Satan, Christ. If we walk in Christ, we will be being built up. Are we rooted in him? Are we built up in him? Are you established in the faith? And I think of 1:23. Go back to Colossians 1:23. He says, if indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard. What is the if indeed? It's that you are continuing. You are holy and blameless. You are set apart. You are Christ's. If indeed you remain stable and steadfast. Are we firmly established in the faith? Paul rejoiced in chapter 2 and verse 5. We didn't cover it in great detail last week. He was rejoicing to see their good order and the firmness of their faith in Christ. One who walks in Christ will have a solid faith. Well, what are we talking about? Faith. Is that faith, belief to salvation? Is that a consistent trust in God? Is that a proper understanding of the body of Christian doctrine? And yes, continue in these things, all of them. Trust him. Hearken back to your salvation, to the gospel that brought light to your life. And study to show yourself approved, that you might know the full content of the faith. Paul says, just as you were taught. Goes back to right at the start of the verse. As you received Christ, just as you were taught. To them, this is nothing new. You've heard it. You've heard it. And in this place, what a blessing that we have heard it. We have heard it. We have been blessed to have men of God who proclaim the word of God rightly. What a blessing. So keep on. What you have heard, keep on. Continue in this. Why don't we? It's hard. There is spiritual inertia where the body at rest will remain at rest. The flesh will battle you. Darkness will entice you. The world will distract you again and again and again. And so Paul continues over and over in Scripture. Every time we go to Scripture, you are going to see encouragement to keep on. Keep on. Just as you were taught. If you're looking for something new, God will reveal new things to you because He is God and we will never exhaust it. But what's more likely to happen is He is going to take an old thing and give it a newness to you as we keep on. Established in the faith, just as you were taught. And the last point is one who is walking in Christ will be abounding in thanksgiving. Am I abounding in thanksgiving? Brother, sister, if I'm walking with Christ, how can I not? I cannot give thanks when I take my eyes off Him. Give thanks in all circumstances. Well, did you see what went down in France? Yes. And I trust God's good work to be done, even in the midst of tragedy and horror. I don't give thanks that evil men destroyed innocent life. But I give thanks that God did not abandon those people. That God was present. That God gave His only Son. That whosoever would believe on Him, executed His own Son, might have eternal life. Thanklessness is a chief sin of those who do not know God. And therefore, it is going to be a chief sin for the believer who gets his eyes off Christ, whose walk with Christ gets wobbly. Romans 1:21 makes plain that although they knew God, those who were apart from Him, although they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks to Him. But they became futile in their thinking. When I don't give thanks to God, my thinking gets really goofy. Because I start giving thanks to other things. Other things become my idols if God is not receiving the thanksgiving that is due His name. Paul is a man in prison. He is rejoicing. He's a rejoicing man in prison. He bubbles joy and the hope of Christ. In prison, he sings hymns of thanksgiving in prison. Thanksgiving is thematic in Paul's letters over and over again. Again, it's an encouragement. Why? Because we struggle in the flesh. And we become thankless. And so here's the prod. Be thankful. Abound in thanksgiving. If I am walking with Christ, there will be an abundance of thanksgiving. So you want to take your spiritual temperature again? Take your pulse? Are you a thankful person? If you are not, then I would contend your walk with Christ is probably not where it needs to be right now. I had a friend share about their spouse. Grieved. There was grief because the spouse complained about the kids' education all the time. Complained about work schedules all the time. Complained about their financial situation all the time. This is a heart that has lost sight of the blessings of God. This is a heart that is not walking with God. We're going to talk more about Thanksgiving because Paul's going to touch on it later. Saints, what's the point of the message? Do it! And this is going to be Paul's theme for the rest of the time. You can put a Nike swoosh up there. Just do it! This is a great passage to commit to memory. Therefore, as you have received Christ, walk in Him. Christ Jesus, the Lord. So walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Wade deep into the pristine white wonderland that is Jesus Christ. Romp in the snow. Take note of everything that your mind and your senses are telling you. I'm not talking about going to have some existential thing. It is in Christ, the Word. In your relationship, in prayer with Him. He is Christ Jesus in you, the hope of glory. And obey. Obey. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Think of the hymns. That one. Then there's Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know. Are we rooted? Paul's highlighted Christ's preeminence in this letter so that the Colossians would not be distracted by plausible arguments, that they would see Christ not merely as the answer to the problems of this world, but He is the answer to all things. Are you built up in Him? Well, we may want Jesus to bail us out of a predicament right now. That's okay. But He is the solution to everything. I don't just go to Him to get me out. I go to Him because He is my protector. He is my everything. He is my all. He is bigger than the situation. He helps me not see the situation. He helps me see that He is the solution. Am I established in the faith? Do you know, Christ may use the drifts of life up to my neck to do His good work. He may want me in those drifts to call upon Him, to exercise my trust in Him. He may use those drifts to strengthen me as I struggle out of them. He may use those drifts to break me down completely before Him. He may use those drifts to destroy me completely. As you have received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. It is a blessing for us today, in light of this word, in light of communion with Christ, and seeing how important walking in Him, communing with Him is, that we would have the opportunity to celebrate communion this morning. So let's take a moment and offer up our prayers to Christ. Prayers of thanksgiving, Lord, for who You are, Son of God, only begotten of the Father, King of kings, Lord of lords, head of the church, creator of all things, our Redeemer. We give You praise and honor that is due Your name. Father, help us through the power of the Holy Spirit to abide in You now and always. In Jesus' name, amen. I'll ask the men to come forward here at this time.